Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message by Vernell J.R. Samuel. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
Today's message is called Bring the Praise. Somebody say, Bring the Praise. Look at somebody next to you, say, Bring the Praise. Bring the Praise. Hallelujah. After today, if you don't understand what all this praise is about, you gotta understand after this message. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Let's all stand for the reading of the word. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Look at somebody else, say, Bring the praise. Bring the praise. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, Are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped, and said to him, What does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, Take off your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was secretly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Verse 3. And you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when you make a long blast of the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every person straight before him. And the reading of the word is already blessed. Before you take your seats, high five two people and say, Bring the praise. Bring the praise. Bring the praise. Hallelujah. Glory. You may have your seats. Amen. Super Bowl Sunday. It's a time of enthusiasm, celebration, and excitement. How many of you guys are going to Super Bowl parties or gonna watch the big game on your HDTVs and are gonna, you know, make some noise for your favorite team? Now, if you're looking at me, don't get confused. I'm wearing the Jets. The Jets aren't playing. The Jets are not playing. They're nowhere near the Super Bowl. Where I'm representing New York, this is where we at, amen? And all of you guys who are rocking your sports team, your sports apparel, big ups to you. Drove in like you just got drafted. Amen, but Super Bowl Sunday, if you guys were nearby, Manhattan is crazy right now, it's a zoo. Because, I mean, it's traffic stopping, press. There's so much going on because Super Bowl is here this time around. And so it's a time of excitement and celebration and enthusiasm. The atmosphere is electric and energetic. Adrenaline is pumping. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever watched a football game or you've been close to a football game, it's not like golf. When you go to golf, a golf match, if you've ever been to one, or if you ever watched one, you can hear a pin drop on grass. Because that's how quiet it is, right? It's a quiet event. When when somebody does something good, you give golf claps. But if you go to a football match, you can't give a golf clap, right? There are no golf claps in football.
No clap at all.
It's true. I mean, the energy is so loud, and part of the reason why is because when you watch the game of football, it's high energy, high intensity, right? You see, Matt, you're looking in anticipation to see the big play, the big tackles. You see, guys, it's almost like a war on a field. For those of you that don't understand football, it's okay. My message won't be entirely on it, but I'm just going to make some connections, and then I'm going to give you guys this revelation. But as I was preparing this message, I was thinking about one thing came to me. When I thought about how people respond to the Super Bowl and to how when we come before these matches and when we get ready to look at these games, there were 4 points that jumped out at me about the game of football and about particularly the Super Bowl and how people respond to this big game, right? The first thing that came to my mind is that when there's a Super Bowl match or there's a big game, people are filled with anticipation. People are anticipating something. The anticipate means something didn't happen yet, but you're looking forward to it, right? So there's a sense of something good. People paid thousands of dollars to go to this game in anticipation of something great happening. Another thing that came to my mind is that people are excited even before the game even starts. There's an excitement that people have. Nothing happened yet, but they're filled with excitement. People come to the match pumped and excited, right? Looking forward to something great happening. People are filled with excitement. Before the cheerleaders sit out, before the fireworks even begin, people are already excited. Another thing that came to my mind when we think about the Super Bowl is that people are loud. No one comes quiet to a game unless they really don't want to be there. But if you want to be there, you're coming there and you're ready to make some noise, right? And the last thing that came to my mind is that, and Ryan touched on, is that when there's a game, big game like this, people from all walks of life, all socioeconomic backgrounds, all different ethnicities come together, and we all celebrate together our favorite teams or the teams that we're cheering on. If I don't know anybody, I could go to the game by myself and make about 6 friends at a Super Bowl, right? Or any type of match like that, because everybody is there in the spirit of excitement and celebration. And so when I was thinking about all these things about the Super Bowl, the question came to me as, what if we came to church to praise the same way we will go to the Super Bowl? What if we came ready to praise the same way we are ready to celebrate at the Super Bowl? And you know, all the qualities I just mentioned about being loud, being standing in anticipation and gathering with excitement, all those things are forms of praise. See, one of the things I've realized is that we all know how to praise. We all are good at praising. We are all good praisers. There's not one bad praiser in this room. We all know how to praise. As a matter of fact, God created us to praise. He created us to worship. But we choose what we're going to praise. You see, all those millions of fans who are coming together at the Super Bowl, they're coming to praise. And they're praising. The word praise simply means to speak highly of. It means to big up. Any Jamaicans here? It means to big up. To speak highly of. If you're proud of something, you're excited about something, it's to brag about it, right? That's what praise means. And so we all have something that we are excited about, that we are willing to praise about. So we're all good at praising. Come on. So now, what we're trying to do today is I want to show you guys from the biblical standpoint how powerful praise really is when that praise is directed to our God. The Bible shows us in the book of Joshua. Joshua was in a state. For those of you that don't know who Joshua was the successor of Moses. Moses, who delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt, who God raised him up. He was raised in Egypt. And God called them out of Egypt and said, you're going to go and deliver the Hebrew people who've been in captivity for 400 years. And we know Moses, you probably know about him parting the Red Sea and how he performed these miracles and how the glory of God was on Moses to such a degree that he was radiating and all the powerful stuff we see Moses do. But then Moses didn't get to make it in to the promised land or the place that God was using him to deliver the people to. As a result of some stubborn, stiff-necked people that he had to leave. But when he passed on, Bible says God raised up another man named Joshua, and Joshua was going to be the one to lead the people there. And so now the story where we're getting to here in Joshua chapter 6 or Joshua chapter 5 was the fact that Joshua now was getting ready to cross into the land called Jericho. Jericho was the place where the promise of God was pretty much prophesied. It was the promised land. So when we go back to Joshua chapter, what was the first verse you read? Chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. When Joshua was near Jericho, you may read past that and just go past that, but it's very important to recognize Joshua was right near the promised land, and he was looking at the very thing God actually promised him. And for you, you might come up to a place where you're actually seeing the thing that God promised you. For Joshua, this was something new. For the people of Israel, this was a new experience. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And now they were finally at the place. They were literally a few miles away from the very place God promised them. And that Jericho to us, in relationship to your personal lives or in relation to the Super Bowl, Jericho was the touchdown or the end zone. It was the touchdown. It's the goal line. It's the place where you experienced your score, right? Your success. It was the place where your dreams will become fulfilled, right? It was the place where Israel's dreams were finally about to be fulfilled. And so now they came near Jericho, and Joshua's looking on, and he's realizing, oh my God, it's finally happening. It's finally happening. What I prayed for, what I've been believing God for, is finally happening. Have you ever been there where you pray for something and then you start seeing that something actually start unfolding right before your eyes? I've been there, and I can tell you, it was a frightening moment for me. Because I said, wow, I dreamed about this, I prayed about this, but I can't believe it's finally happening. And so now the Bible says when Joshua and the people of Israel came and they were near Jericho, near the touchdown, near the end zone, there was a problem. It always seems like those problems just come up right at the place where you think you're right there, right?
Yes, sir.
Come on. Amen. So now they're near Jericho. I see it. But then the Bible says Jericho was straightly shut up. Meaning there was a wall. There was a wall that hindered them from entering. In verse 1 of chapter 6, the Bible says that the people of Jericho, they built this wall because they heard about Israel. They heard about their God, and they were greatly afraid of them. And so they built up these walls that was impenetrable, that was so thick that they could not get through it. They tried to beat it down. There was nothing they could do because the walls were so thick. All right, so now they got to the end zone, or they see the end zone, but then there was a wall. You know, it's like in football again. It's like fourth and goal, fourth down. The end zone is about 1 or 2 inches away, but then there's a wall of defenders or linebackers or something, right, that are blocking the people from entering in to the touchdown. And so in Israel's case, this wall was those linebackers that they couldn't get through. And so now Joshua's at this place where he now says, what am I going to do? How are we going to get through this wall? How are we going to get through this? And so now Joshua did what he gave us, an illustration, an example of what all of us should be doing when we get to these tight spots. The Bible says that when Joshua was near Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, a person stood opposite of him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went on and asked him, are you for us or are you for our adversaries or our enemies? And the Bible says, the angel said unto him, neither, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord, and I have now come. You see, if you don't lift up your eyes and begin to look, when you come up against these walls that are hindering you or blocking you from entering into the promises that God has for you, you will feel defeated or you'll feel discouraged and you'll feel like there's nothing you can do. But Joshua, instead of gazing at the wall, the Bible says he looked up, for where our help comes from, it comes from the Lord. And when he looked up, the Bible says the army, an angel appeared to him. And I want you to know that that angel wasn't just any ordinary angel. That in the Old Testament, the Bible shows us or reveals to us that Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he's the end. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That Jesus Christ did not just appear the first time in the New Testament, but Jesus Christ was operating even in the Old Testament. And he appeared in different forms even in the Old Testament. So, for example, when the three Hebrew boys were thrown into the fire, and the Bible says King Nebuchadnezzar looked in the fire and he said he saw another person in the fire, and this person looked like the Son of God. How did he see a person that looked like the Son of God, and the Son of God was not even born yet? But Jesus appeared even in the Old Testament. Even before he was born in a manger, he existed. Hallelujah. He wasn't created at 2,000 years ago. He is eternal. Amen. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He existed from the very beginning. So even in this case, the Bible shows us that when the angel, the army came, and one of the names of the Lord, anytime you see the name Lord is reserved for Jesus. And so the name, the Bible says, he's the commander of the army of the Lord. And the Bible says, Joshua fell on his face of the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? In Revelation chapter 20, it was 18 or 20, the Bible tells us that when John fell on his face to worship an angel quickly said to him, get up off your face, for we are fellow servants. You don't worship us, but worship God. So if this was an angel, an ordinary angel, it would have told Joshua, don't worship, get up off your face. But this angel allowed him to worship. He was the angel of the Lord. He was Jesus Christ. So the Bible says, what does my Lord say to his servant? Verse 15. Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. Where else did we see that? In the Bible. With Moses, right? When the Lord appeared to Moses, he got the same experience. But here's the thing. When he worshiped, the Bible tells us that revelation opened up to Joshua. God began to give Joshua strategy on how he was going to get through those walls, right? And so now Joshua, in verse 1, the Bible tells us that when Joshua was in this place and he looked at the walls was the place was shut up with this wall. God told Joshua, here's what you're going to do to get through those walls. I want you to bring the praise. I want you to bring the praise. The Bible says in verse 3, he said, what you're going to do is this. You shall march around the city. See, when you praise and when you worship, see, Joshua worshiped in a tight spot. He worshiped in a place where he didn't know how he was going to get through his situation. And as a result of worshiping, the strategy or the wisdom came in order for Joshua to know what to do. And I'm telling you, you got to learn how to develop a habit of, instead of falling into the trap of complaining or the trap of feeling discouraged about your situations, you can always turn to the presence of God. And in the middle of your worship, the Lord will begin to reveal strategy for you on how to win in life. Come on. And so now he said, the Lord told him, you shall march around the city. Every man of war, you shall go around the city once, and then you should do this for 6 days. Verse 4. And 7 priests shall bear the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark, and on the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And so this was God telling Joshua the secret or the strategy on how to get through this wall of linebackers, this wall, this defenders, the walls that is preventing you from getting to the end zone or the touchdown or the place where the promise of God is going to be revealed to you, the place or the way you're going to get through that is by learning how to praise. And so he said they got seven trumpets, seven priests that were going to carry seven trumpets. And he also said we're going to bring the Ark of the Covenant, all right? Now, real fast, we talked about this before, right? He said let's get seven trumpets, which are instruments of praise. And then you're going to get the Ark of the Covenant. You're going to have seven priests. They're going to carry the Ark of the Covenant. And then the rest of Israel will follow the trumpets or the praisers, the Ark of the Covenant, and Israel's going to follow them, right? Now, in an earlier message, we talked about the Ark, right? We said that it's the chest of God, and that in the Old Covenant and in the Old Testament, God dwelt in an Ark. He lived in a box, right? So we talked about how anytime God wanted his presence to go before the people, the Bible was, he instructed them to carry the Ark of the Covenant. All throughout scripture, you will see in the Old Covenant that Israel was commanded to carry the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God. And so God said, Joshua, in this case, if you're going to learn how to penetrate those walls that are hindering you, that are stopping you from entering to your promised land, you've got to learn how to carry the praise or bring the praise in these situations. So he said, seven trumpets is the Ark of the Covenant. The trumpeters actually led the way. So he said, let the trumpeters lead the way. The Ark of the Covenant, the priests will carry the Ark behind the trumpeters, and everyone else will follow. So he said, Joshua, you're going to let the praise lead the way. When you let the praise lead the way, the presence will follow. And then when the presence of God follows the praisers, you're going to have clear access into anything that God has called you into. You praise, the presence comes, then you have access. He didn't say that the Ark of the Covenant go first and then the praises, or he didn't put the praises last. The praise went first. The praise went first and then the presence. Why? Because the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. One of the secrets, see, if you don't understand that there is a protocol to how God operates in our lives. I'm going to say that again. There is a protocol to how God operates in our lives. Most people don't wonder why they don't get to experience the supernatural or the presence of God. It's because they don't understand the protocol. God gave David a blueprint on how praise should operate. He even gave it to Joshua of how the presence of God works. And it starts with praise. You learn to praise. Excuse me for my handwriting. When I coach my teams, it's all right anyway. You bring the praise. As you bring the praise, the presence will manifest. God loves to be around praisers. God loves to dwell in praises, what the Bible says. He manifests. While we know that God is omnipresent and he's everywhere all at once, he manifests or he shows up where there is praise. Now, I just said praise is not foreign to us. We all know how to praise. We just choose what we're going to praise. So, God says praise. The Bible says that everything that has breath, what? Praise the Lord. Which means the only prerequisite that I need to praise God is to have breath in my lungs. That's the only requirement I need. I don't need a car to praise him. I don't need a house to praise him. I don't need a husband or a wife to praise him. I don't need money to praise him. The only thing I need to give God praise is having breath. And if you have breath, you have a reason to praise. And the Bible says, the Bible says also, we should bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall what? Continually be where? Not in your head, not in your heart, but in your mouth. See, praise springs out of your heart, but it has to leave your mouth. You got to use your mouth. You got to use your words to praise. You can't praise quiet. That's why you can't go to a football match quiet. You come ready to bring praise, right? You're ready to shout. You're ready to make some noise, right? You use your mouth to praise. You can't praise quietly. Praise must continually be in your mouth. So you got to learn how to become praise. Become a praiser. Praise is an attitude. It's a mindset. You have to make a decision and a determination to praise at all times. All throughout scriptures is embedded and it's interwoven throughout the stories of God is that when the people praise, God showed up. When the people praise, his presence manifested. Not that he's not there, but praise gets God to show up. He loves to dwell where the praises are. I'm convinced most people stay grounded in their walk with God because they take God for granted. Why? Because praise is an expression of gratitude. It's an expression of thanks. It's an expression of thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, the same, the Hebrew word for praise is the root word for thanks, for thank you. Thanksgiving, thank you. Praise and thanksgiving goes hand in hand. So one of the reasons why some people don't praise is because they have not found a reason to praise God for. But we just learned the only reason I need to praise is God's friend. That's it. But watch this. Now, the Bible tells us when Joshua sent up the praise and he brought the praise before him, that wall that was impenetrable, that no one can get through, the walls came down after the praise. And now, I want to give you guys five powerful benefits of praise. Five things that are guaranteed to happen when you learn to praise. So now Joshua got through and he praised the walls down. We all know the story. The people shouted unto God. And he said, Joshua, he didn't say get the loud people to praise. He didn't say let the quiet people go to the back and just get the really loud ones and let them shout. Because I know some people just have quiet personalities. I know some people are type A personalities and type B, and not everyone is loud. But God didn't tell Joshua that. Everyone had to give God a shot, and that wall came down. Which means praise has nothing to do with my emotions. It has nothing to do with my personality. Why? Because we were all created to praise. And God will give you. Bible says he will create the fruit of your lips. He will give you the power to praise him if you're willing to praise. Man, I got so much I want to say, but I'm going to give you guys five powerful benefits to praise. You ready? Somebody say, bring the praise.
Bring the praise.
Five things that are guaranteed. You want to know the five things? There are five things. There's more than that, but I'm going to give you only five things that are guaranteed to happen when you give God praise. Number one, the walls will come down in your life. The walls will come down. We learned in this same story, they shouted and the walls came down. I'm telling you, I've realized every time, Marcus, you get to a place where you get near to your promise. You start seeing like doors are starting to open up and it seems like this breakthrough happening for you in certain places. It's like a wall comes up. Why? The Bible says that the enemy was afraid of Israel and so he built this wall, which means the enemy is afraid of you when he sees you coming. So what he does is this, I'm going to put up an obstacle. I'm going to put up a wall around your finances. I'm going to put up a wall around your families. I'm going to put up a wall somewhere their dream, the business that they were looking to get off the ground, and all of a sudden everything just seemed to get wrong. The enemy says, I see them coming, so let me put up this wall. And the only way you're going to penetrate the walls that the enemy sets up, you got to learn to bring the praise. Yeah. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of walls and strongholds. Number two, what else happens when you bring your praise? Your enemies will scatter and flee from you. Psalm 68, verse 1. When you praise, your enemies will flee. The Bible says, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate him flee before him. You see, Israel, the enemy was not threatened by Israel as much as they were threatened by the God of Israel. I'll say it again. The enemy was not threatened by Israel as much as they were threatened by Israel's God. They heard of the stories and they heard of the testimonies of the great things God was doing on behalf of Israel. And so, because of that, they were afraid. The Bible says very clear, the people on the other side of those walls were mightier than them. They were bigger than them. They were stronger than them. They were faster than them. They were outnumbered by them. They had more advanced weaponry than them. So Israel did not have anything really that was threatening to the enemy as much as their God was fighting on their behalf. And they knew that. And so the Bible says they put up this wall and was like, listen, the God of Israel is with them. Hallelujah. The Lord is with them. And the God of Israel is the same God we worship. And he's with you. The Bible says when you allow God to arise, you allow God to arise when you praise him. When you glorify his name, when you magnify him, when you begin to boast about his works, not to people. You can just praise God. Just praise him because he's there. When you praise him, he shows up. And the Bible says when you allow God to arise, his enemies will run, will flee. They will scatter. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So your enemies will flee when you bring the praise. Somebody say bring the praise.
Bring the praise.
Number three. What else happens when you bring a praise? God does great wonders. Exodus 15, verse 11. God does great wonders. He does the supernatural. The Bible says in Exodus, chapter 15. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang the song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord. For he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its riders he has thrown into the sea. Jump to verse 11. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You see, the Bible says he is fearful how? In praises. God is fearful in praises, doing wonders. So we want to see the supernatural, and we want to see the God of wonders perform, but the Bible says he shows us how powerful he is in the middle of praise. He shows us how powerful he is in the midst of our praise. And so in the middle of your praise, God wants to show you how powerful he is, but you got to bring the praise. He does great wonders, and he shows how fearful he is in your praises. Hallelujah. See, I've learned to make praise a habit of mine. It's almost an addiction for me. I've got to praise. If I don't praise in a day, I feel horrible. I feel like I'm weak. I feel like I'm losing my high. I'm like a junkie for this. You need to praise. Why? Because I know my help and my strength and my ability is not coming from me, right? The son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the father doing. So I want to make sure God is magnified in my sight every day. I need to see the Lord. I need to walk in his presence. I need to experience him daily because that's where my help comes. That's where the power is flowing from. And if you want to see the God of wonders do wonders in your life, you got to learn to bring the praise. Come on. Number four, two more. What else happens when we bring God the praise? He brings heaven to earth. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. When you praise, you bring heaven into your situations. You bring heaven to earth. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Verse 8, I said you can't praise God quietly. Come on. You gotta give God praise. Therefore, don't be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of even before you ask Him. So, the Lord says, don't be like them who just simply pray just to ask God for stuff. No, I have a better way for you to get into the presence. You see, we always thought, oh, I need to pray. I love to pray too, but I realized praise is even more powerful than even my prayers. Why? When you praise, these things automatically happen. Look what he says in verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Instead of beginning your prayers with your requests, how do you start off your prayers? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's praise. When you hallow his name, you're praising his name. You exalt his name. So you enter into your prayer time, you praise God. Don't go in there with your requests. Your God already knows what you need of. But instead, when you praise, he says, hallowed be your name. You are El Shaddai. You are the double-breasted God, the God of more than enough. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are the Lord of my provider. You are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. You are my Father. You are my Abba, my Daddy God. I can run to you. You see, you praise him for who he is. Amen? You worship him for who he is. And as a result of praising, what did he say happens? Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. How? In earth, as it is in heaven. So you bring heaven and you bring the kingdom to earth through praise. Yes. When you praise, then you can ask for the kingdom to show up in your life. Hallelujah. I praise. I talk about how good he is. I speak highly of him. And I spend time doing that. And then heaven begins to show up. Then my daily bread comes. Then all my needs are added to me. And then all those other things in that prayer manifest. But I can't skip the praise. I got to bring the praise. Hallelujah. Come on. Somebody got it.
Watch out now.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Listen, you don't need permission from me to praise. You can praise him whenever you want. Yeah. Hallelujah. I should stop here. I got one more.
Thanks. No, I was saying thanks for praise.
Bad timing. I know what you mean, what you meant though. Hallelujah. Who wants the fifth one? The fifth guaranteed blessing. The fifth guaranteed thing that's going to happen when you praise, when you bring the praise, your blessings increase. Blessings increase. Psalm chapter 67. Hallelujah. You see, we don't need anything to praise God for breath. But you got to understand, there are even benefits. God is so gracious. And even though he created us to praise him, he still says, listen, even if you praise me, I'm still going to add these blessings to you. Verse 3, the Bible says, let the people praise you, O God. Let the people praise you. I'll say it again. Let the people praise you, O God, and let the people praise you. Let the people praise you, O God, and let all the people praise you. Amen. Play some, Drew. Maybe you'll get it after that. Let the people praise. Let all the people praise you. Verse 4. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. The next verse says this. Let the people praise you, O God, and let the people praise. Then the earth shall yield her increase. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. See, David said, when the people praise, when the people allow themselves to praise, he said, let the people praise. Allow yourself permission to give God praise. Allow yourselves to be released in the spirit of praise and worship. Forget about your circumstances and forget about your concerns. Don't magnify your problems in the sight of Almighty God, but you magnify the Almighty God in the sight of your problems. You magnify how great your God is in your circumstances. I will not allow a circumstance to dictate my praise, but my praise will dictate to my mountains and my walls what they have to do. And the Bible says, when the people praise, then the earth shall yield to increase. Then our God, even our God, shall bless us. Which means, praise is the key to increase. Praise is the seed for increase. When I sow praise into the earth, blessings follow. When I sow praise to the heavens, God, even our own God, shall bless us. There is a multidimensional blessing that happens when we praise. The earth will respond. The very earth that we're on, this earth right now, has to respond to you when you praise. And our God, even our God, shall bless us. So that means you get blessings from the earth and you get blessings from heaven. You get natural blessings and you get supernatural blessings. Supernatural doors open up for you